Welcome to AUSA's Army Matters podcast, focusing on what's important to the total Army community. Today's episode is brought to you by GEICO. This Military Appreciation Month, GEICO would like to thank all current and retired military personnel. As a member of AUSA, you could qualify for a special discount. It's GEICO's way of saying thanks for all you do.
Hi everyone, I'm Holly Daly, and welcome to Family Voices. I'm happy to be the newest member of the AUSA family as your Family Readiness Director. Thank you for joining me on my very first podcast. Our topic today is volunteers and Army Spouse Appreciation. Each year during April and May, we take time to honor two very special groups, our volunteers in April during National Volunteer Month, and our military spouses during Military Spouse Appreciation Day, which is part of Military Appreciation Month in May. Year after year, Army families devote countless hours to volunteering in and around the communities of which their spouses serve. In the month of April and May, we take time to thank them for their contributions to the Army's overall mission. The Chief of Staff of the Army, General James McConville, has declared that people are the Army's top priority. This is clearly outlined in the Army's People First strategy. Today, we will discuss how the Army is recognizing the importance of our military families and how critical their contributions are to their success. We are honored to have with us today Mrs. Maria McConville, spouse of the Chief of Staff of the Army. Hi, Maria.
Hello, Holly.
Thank you so much. We're happy you are joining us.
It's my pleasure.
And with Maria, we are also welcoming Mrs. Alexandra Grinston, spouse of the Sergeant Major of the Army, Michael Grinston. Hi, Alexandra.
Hi, Holly. I'm glad to be here.
Well, thank you. We're glad you're here, too. In addition to Maria and Alexandra, we have with us two subject matter experts, Ms. Teresa Bridley, Director Assistant G1 for Civilian Personnel. Hi, Teresa.
Good morning, Holly. Glad to be here.
Good morning. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
And Mr. Steve Yearwood, Program Analyst in the Soldier and Family Readiness Division. Hi, Steve.
Hi, Holly. Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm honored to be here.
Well, I'm honored to have you here and have all of you here. So thank you. So Maria, Alexandra, Teresa, and Steve, thank you sincerely for joining us here on the Family Voices podcast show. And I, as well as our listeners, thank you for taking time to share your knowledge and insights on the importance of volunteerism. So Maria and Alexandra, I thought we might start by allowing our listeners to learn a little bit about each of you. Could you please share, where did you grow up and what was it like to be a young officer spouse or a young enlisted spouse? Maria, would you mind starting first?
Absolutely, Holly. And thank you so much for hosting us today on AUSA's Army Matters. It's great to be here with everyone. I've been an Army spouse for over 33 years, and I learn more and more about the military every day, and partially in thanks to AUSA and all the great work that they do. But I grew up in Rocky River, Ohio, a suburb of Cleveland, and I'm one of six kids. I had no military exposure whatsoever growing up. I don't know anyone in my family that ever served in the military. It was not a topic of conversation ever at the dinner table in our family. So I didn't really know anything about the military. When I went to college, I was fortunate enough that my father paid for me to go to college. But being the second oldest of six kids, he said, after that 4 years, you know, you're on your own. I still needed to do an internship when I graduated, and I didn't want to have to take out loans to do my dietetic internship. So I applied for the Army's internship program and got accepted. And a couple months after graduation, went off to Brooke Army Medical Center in San Antonio, Texas, where I did my year-long internship. Then I got stationed out at Fort Ord in Monterey, California, which is no longer a viable Army installation, but it was a great assignment. And that's where I met my husband, Jimmy. He was a captain at the time. I was a lieutenant. And so when we got married, I went into the reserves. I was no longer on active duty. So, you know, people would say, well, you were in the Army. You knew what you were getting into when you married someone in the military. But I do have to say, you know, I served at a time that was pre-war and before the deployments that everybody has been going on in the last 20 years. And being in the medical field, I really didn't know that much about the Army. But I did enjoy moving and all of the new experiences that I had as a young Army spouse. And there were times when I did work and I enjoyed working. There were times when I worked and volunteered and times when I concentrated more on raising our three children. During that time, I loved volunteering in the schools. I got to know a little bit more about what went on in the schools. I volunteered with the family readiness groups, with Red Cross and some other agencies. But I will say that over the 33 years of being a spouse, I did find employment difficult at times, and we didn't have the opportunities 30-some years ago that spouses luckily have now. And it was a tough transition going from an active duty soldier to a family member or dependent, as we were known back then. And it's been quite a journey. I can say that every step along the way has been a learning process. It's been a great opportunity to meet new people, learn new places, experience different things in life. About 10 years ago, well, maybe about 12 or 13 years ago now, I went back to school and got my master's degree in public health and then started my own consulting business. So I became an entrepreneur. So like I said, it's been quite a journey. And I feel like being an Army spouse really has given me so many opportunities. We now have three grown children who are all active duty Army, as well as our son-in-law. And it's funny to me when I look back now how that one decision that I made to do my internship with the Army because I didn't want to have to take out loans really changed the whole trajectory of my life. And so here I am.
Well, we are glad that you went with the Army. That led you to meeting your husband and going from there, as you said, and we're grateful to your whole family for serving. So thank you for sharing your journey, Maria. Alexandra, would you mind sharing where you grew up and what it was like to be a young enlisted spouse?
So I grew up in a small town in Germany, and I didn't know anything about the military, and I didn't know what Army life would look like when I got married. Now, our first duty station together was Fort Sill, Oklahoma, and that was quite a culture shock for me. I think it's normal to experience a culture shock when you move to a new country, but I moved to a new country and a new way of living. At that time, my husband was a drill sergeant, and he worked really long hours. I hardly saw him, and I suddenly was a family member, a dependent. I lived in a new place that was very foreign to me. I didn't have any friends in the beginning, and I didn't have a job. But fortunately, other spouses reached out to me and welcomed me as a new spouse. They introduced me to the family readiness group, and they told me about volunteering for different organizations. And the spouses that I met at Fort Sill made it very easy for me to feel at home. After Fort Sill, we moved 11 more times within the United States, but also to Germany and to Italy. And at each duty location, I found that military spouses are very welcoming and that there was always an opportunity for me to get involved in one way or the other. And I think through that involvement, I learned a lot about the military and life as an Army spouse. Now, looking back, I have to say that it has been a great experience. We'll do it all over again. But I have to admit that it was not always easy. My husband went on several deployments when our two daughters were little, and I'm very sad that he missed out on so many years of their life and that our daughters spent so much time without their father. Fortunately, my husband hasn't deployed in the last few years, and I'm very grateful, and I now feel even more grateful when we can celebrate holidays and birthdays together.
Yeah, I can relate to how holidays are so special, especially to us military families. So thank you, Alexandra. We appreciate you sharing your journey with us and sharing how the spouses and the FRG helped you through their kindness and volunteer efforts. So during National Volunteer Month, we pay special tribute to those who give their time and energy for someone other than themselves, like we just heard. Maria, may I ask you, why is it important to recognize those Army spouses who volunteer?
Well, that's a good question, Holly. I mean, we all know that volunteers are really essential to so many organizations. And without volunteers, services and even the things that we would consider niceties would be lacking. So all of these organizations, especially throughout the military, really depend on volunteers. And recognition is an important part of retaining volunteers. When volunteers feel appreciated and valued, then they're more likely to continue their volunteer involvement. And then, you know, of course, when others see volunteers being recognized, it encourages other people to volunteer as well. And I think it just really kind of highlights the amount of work that people put in as volunteers and all of the things that couldn't happen if we didn't have volunteers to be there really on a daily basis.
Yes, Maria. I remember I've seen different ways that we have shown appreciation to volunteers, and a simple thank you goes a long way.
Absolutely.
Alexandra, can you think of a personal experience throughout your journey as a military spouse where you witnessed someone who inspired others to volunteer or who made a significant impact?
I have met so many amazing spouses and volunteers that it's impossible for me to just name one volunteer. There are inspiring volunteers in so many different areas, and I think it only takes one highly motivated spouse to encourage others to support a worthy cause. I've seen it in schools where a PTA president volunteered endless hours to support students and teachers and motivated other parents to help her. Or within a spouses club where one spouse took on the project of setting up a chapter of Operation Deploy Your Dress and then inspired other spouses to help her set up a clothing store and host several events so military spouses could select the free formal dress. I think every volunteer makes a significant impact, no matter where they volunteer or how many hours they put in.
Yeah, that shows that one person's passion can really make a difference. So Maria and Alexandra, both of you have spent years volunteering your time in many places throughout the country and world as you accompanied your husbands during their service. On top of it, both of you have worked. Why do you feel it is important to volunteer, and how did you make the time? Maria?
Yeah, that's a good question. Well, I'm really fortunate in my line of work as a dietitian to have a lot of flexibility. As I said, I have my own consulting business right now, and I have worked full time at different times in my life, but I really prefer part time. With my business, I can take as much work or as little work as I want. And that has really been the key to allowing me to volunteer. I have taught my kids a saying, and I know that a saying is credited to JFK as well as back to Martin Luther, but the saying is, to whom much is given, much is expected. And that really resonates with me because I feel like I've been given this really great life. I mean, has every moment of my life been easy? No, of course it hasn't. But I really believe that the life that we've been given has been a great life. And that's why I think it's really important for me to want to give back. So when the kids were little, like I said, I volunteered in their schools. And I think that by volunteering in their schools and also with different Army organizations, it's helped me learn. Because sometimes we complain about things. We don't like the way that things are. But when I would volunteer, it helped me to understand why things were, or help to maybe be part of the solution and not just part of the problem. And so then outside of the Army, I have volunteered over years with different dietitians organizations, and I do mentor young up-and-coming dietitians and have served on various committees within different dietitians groups. And I really enjoy that because it's something very different from the Army, but it's something that I'm passionate about. And so I like to give back where I can. I also have been volunteering with a disaster recovery organization, helping out with people's homes that get flooded. I've taken down moldy walls and pulled up carpet and done all kinds of manual labor work, which I really love. And then we were also working quite a bit at the Capital Area Food Bank this past year during COVID. I really just feel like not only am I contributing value to an organization, but I get something in return from it. I asked myself one time when I was putting peanut butter jars into boxes on an assembly line at the food bank, I said, why do I enjoy this? And I said, I like to do this because I really feel like I'm contributing to something greater than myself. And so it's really been an important part of my life. And I look forward to what the next chapter in my life will look like when Jimmy retires, because then I feel like I'll be able to dive even deeper into giving back to humanity.
I actually didn't work for a long time after our two daughters were born. I made a conscious decision to stay home to take care of them. And that also meant I had a little bit more free time. You know, I took care of my daughters, but I had time to volunteer. Now, since we moved so many times and my daughters had to attend many different schools, it was always important for me to support the Parent Teacher Association at that school or any school event that would take place. Overall, I like the flexibility that volunteering offers me. I can support an organization that I value, but I can determine how much time I can dedicate based on my schedule. I also like to volunteer because I always learn something new and I meet new and interesting people. There are so many volunteers that share their great talents that it's just wonderful to be around them and learn from them. Volunteering is also important to me because it helps me meet new people when I move to a new place. And then, of course, it feels rewarding to give back to the community or to support a good cause. Now that I work, volunteering is a lot more challenging. There's less time for me to volunteer, but I try to prioritize, and that seems to work well on most days. Not always, but on most days.
Well, thank you both for sharing the importance of volunteering and that you both still fit volunteering into your schedules. I always felt also that no matter where you are in your journey in life, you know, we're always sometimes mentors, but always mentees, because we're always learning when we're involved, especially with volunteering.
Hey, everyone. We hope you're enjoying the show. We'd like to take a moment to thank GEICO for making this episode possible. This Military Appreciation Month, GEICO would like to thank all current and retired military personnel. As a member of AUSA, you could qualify for a special discount. It's GEICO's way of saying thanks for all you do.
Maria, do you mind if I ask you, what advice would you give to a young spouse with regards to volunteering?
Wow, that's a good question. One of the things I wish that I had known when I was younger was like how to manage my energy well. And I know sometimes we talk about time management, you know, how do we manage our time? But I really think it comes down to managing our energy because we all have 24 hours in a day. It's just how do we spend that time? If we're spending our time volunteering in organizations because we feel obligated to do something, but we're really not giving any value or we're not gaining any value, but more just kind of there out of obligation or taking up a seat, that's probably not the right volunteer opportunity for us. So I always say to people, if you can not only give value to an organization, but then reap some value in return, that's a win-win situation. And when we volunteer, we can gain a lot of new experiences and new knowledge and understanding about an organization or the way that things are that we may not understand. But one of the really great things about volunteering is it can fill some gaps in a resume. There were certainly times in my life when I chose not to work or working wasn't the right situation or maybe, you know, couldn't find the ideal situation for myself. So I didn't work. And so there, volunteering for me was much more of an attractive option. And then you can also take the experiences and the knowledge and skills that you've gained in your volunteer experience and apply that to your resume.
Oh, yeah. Good point, Maria, because I remember after one PCS move, I was going on a job interview. And while I was on the interview, I was being asked why there were so many gaps on my resume. Well, Teresa, this is one of your expertise areas. Would you mind sharing with us about your position and then tell us a little bit more about applying volunteer experience to the resume as Maria was just referring to?
Thank you, Holly. I'm the director of the Assistant G1 for Civilian Personnel. My organization provides personnel policy, guidance, and advice to manage and support civilian personnel programs, including employment policies. So with respect to applying volunteer work to your resume, experience gained through a non-paid volunteer position includes invaluable knowledge, skills, and abilities that can help to provide great credit towards paid employment opportunities. As you build your resume, in particular for federal employment, you need to ensure you provide all the same information you would for a paid position. Be sure to identify your work schedule as a volunteer. This includes how many hours per week you work so that individuals reviewing your resume can determine if the experience you gained as a volunteer can meet the requirements of the position. For example, having 52 weeks of specialized experience performing duties as a volunteer. Be sure to also include the length of time you work as well. This includes how long you perform certain duties in a specific volunteer position. That could be a six-month period, it could be a year, etc. Think about tailoring your resume to the position you're applying for. You may have a great deal of volunteer experience in several different career fields, or you may have gained experience in multiple areas of a single career field. Make sure the majority of your volunteer experience, or any experience, in your resume matches the experience required for the position you're applying for. For example, if you have experience providing IT customer support and IT data management, and the position you're applying for requires experience providing customer support, you should provide more details to highlight your experience providing customer support work rather than the data management. And please do not overlook or discount the details of your volunteer assignment. You may perform a duty every day as a volunteer that seems sort of routine or that you think would not make a difference for your application. But the more insight and detail concerning the work that you perform provides the insight of your experience and your ability to perform various tasks associated with the position and how your applied knowledge can support the application for that position. HR reviews resumes. They cannot assume you have the knowledge required to perform a task or that you have had experience performing certain critical duties. So even if you are not sure something is important enough to include in your resume, go ahead and include it anyway. Of course, I'm speaking of federal employment resumes where specific details matter to qualifying for certain positions. In some cases, you may also consider soft skills to be identified in your resume, including interpersonal skills, a drive for success, and initiatives that you may have taken with respect to your volunteer work. These efforts can help selecting officials see that you may be the right person for their job. I'm often asked, so what are soft skills? Soft skills include communication, creativity, resolving problems, engaging in teamwork, collaboration, having flexibility in the work, and decision-making are just a few examples. If the job you're performing requires you to use specific programs, tools, or processes, these are also important to include in your resume. You should write out the experience, task, and duties you have actually performed to manage the work with the use of any specific tools and software programs. In addition to these tips, I also want to share with you the Military OneSource website, which provides access to Spouse Education and Career Opportunities Organization. This organization offers access to career coaching in a number of fields, including technology, healthcare, education, and employment with the federal government, just to name a few. This organization also provides assistance with resume building, as well as a great online resource accessible from any location. You can access Military OneSource through Google. I've done it myself a few times and I couldn't remember the website address, and I think that's the easiest way to get there. And hopefully you can connect to the Military OneSource. There's lots of great opportunities on that website, and I hope you'll be able to utilize it.
Well, great tips, Teresa. Thank you so much for sharing those with us. And I have to say, love, love, love Military OneSource. So thank you for sharing that with us.
Yes, thank you.
So our current pandemic has altered our way of life, and I'm quite sure COVID-19 has had a profound impact on volunteering. Alexandria, can you share some ideas or ways to be creative in volunteering during these times?
I think volunteering has become a lot more difficult since March of last year because many organizations have changed their way of conducting business. A lot of in-person events are postponed or canceled and replaced by virtual events. I have been very impressed by the creativity of many volunteers. The Spouses Club here, for example, decided to continue hosting their monthly events and then found creative ways to make them into online gatherings. So they had, for example, a virtual cooking class and luncheon, a Zoom scavenger hunt, a Zoom bingo, a virtual trivia, and much more. And I think it's really neat to see how they are working hard to maintain interaction with their membership and also find new ways to fundraise for scholarships and grants. I think there are many new opportunities to support nonprofit organizations or your soldier and family readiness groups or any other group you belong to. For example, you could sign up for a virtual run, donate food or supplies to a nonprofit organization, foster a pet, participate in a local cleanup day, record messages for people who live in retirement homes, or write thank you cards to healthcare workers, or host online get-togethers for your groups. I want to share one idea that a friend of mine had recently, I think a very unique way of volunteering. She signed up for Be My Eyes, where she assists blind and low vision people through a live video call. There's a lot of neat opportunities out there. We just have to be a little bit more creative. And right now, a lot of the volunteer opportunities are still virtual, but hopefully in the near future, that will change again.
Wow, Alexandra, these are amazing ways to volunteer, especially during these times. But that be my eyes. That sounds so wonderful. Thanks for sharing that with us. So, Steve, years ago when volunteering, I remember having to submit my volunteer hours each month through my husband's chain of command, and it was a tedious process. You're the expert in this area. Would you kindly tell us about your position and then how we track volunteer hours today?
Hey, Holly, absolutely. And thank you for allowing me to be part of this podcast. Today, I want to just kind of talk about my responsibility and how potential volunteers can access the volunteer system and also track volunteer hours. So I'm a program analyst in the Soldier and Family Readiness Division, part of the Family Programs Branch. And one of my responsibilities is the Army Community Service Policy. And I'm pretty sure many of the spouses are aware of Army Community Service. And I'm also the point of contact for the Soldier and Family Readiness Group, and also the lead integrator for the Quality of Life Effort Number 4, which is spouse employment. That's a number 4 priority for the Chief of Staff of the Army. So before I get to your question, I want to just kind of restate some of the things that have already been said before in regards to volunteering. I volunteered when I was in the service, and when I retired, I continued to volunteer. I still volunteer for a senior citizen housing complex. And by volunteering on there, I use that to get on the board of directors. So now I serve on the board of directors for something I once volunteered for. So the opportunities are there for military spouses. So to your questions about tracking volunteer hours, you know, we've been tracking hours through the Volunteer Information System, or VIMIS, as many may have heard that terminology before. And it's been around for, you know, over a decade, but that's the primary tool to track volunteer hours. Remember many years ago, we used to use the forms itself, the manual way of doing things. But now with technology, you know, over the last 10 years plus, that's the system of record we've been using to track volunteer hours.
Yes, Steve, I do remember those times of tracking it the older way, so that just shows my season time with volunteering as a military spouse. But first, I want to say, Steve, thank you for your service and thank you for sharing your volunteering with us and your job and what you do now. It's all in my passion area, so we appreciate what you do. It's good that we have a central system of tools to help us track volunteer hours. How did they get access to VIMIS?
So once again, this system is the primary means of documenting your hours. And if you remember some time ago, we used to have VIMIS on Army OneSource. But in our early part of the year, you know, Army Community Service transitioned VIMIS to this portal. It's called the Army Family Web Portal. So the link for that system is www.armyfamilywebportal.com, all one word. Any volunteer or anyone trying to be a volunteer can go to this website and register. Now, if they had an account before under Army OneSource, they can transition their account from the legacy system to this new system. So when you go into this website, you will see an option once you register to transition your account. That way you don't lose previous record of hours that you have documented. If you don't have an account, you just register as a new user.
Yes, and if you don't mind me adding, I can remember putting all my volunteer hours in, and also there used to be a place to put in volunteer certificates or awards that you received, and I remember going back and looking at those and utilizing those when I was updating my resumes each time.
Yes, Holly, and those are things that sometimes spouses overlook. You know, there's so much opportunities in regards to volunteering, and also within that same system, anyone that's trying to volunteer can navigate for opportunities. And sometimes you will find that some Army Community Service partner with their local Red Cross on the installation. So there's a lot of opportunities, and any certificate you have received during training, all those things are beneficial. Also, on the system, there's some help for using the system itself, because again, it's a new system. It looks similar, but again, with any new system, there's always a learning curve to that system. So volunteers or anyone seeking information on this system, when you open up Army Family Web Portal, at the top, you will see Getting Started. So once you select Getting Started, the next window that comes up, you will see VIMIS, Volunteer Management Information System. And once you select that, then it gives you a listing of the different training opportunities that are there, as well as a user guide that you can download. And if there are any issues accessing that website or trying to register, use the contact option and contact your local ACS.
Great. Thanks for explaining that, Steve. I'm excited to get on there and check it out. So, Maria and Alexandra, it was a pleasure to have you with us today, and we hope you will come back to join us again. I'd like to give you the last words. Do you have any final thoughts you would like to provide to our listeners? Maria?
Sure. I want to thank everyone who's volunteered to make an impact on the Army and the organizations that support the Army. I know that spouse appreciation is celebrated every May, and I want to let our Army spouses know how much I value and cherish you, the Army spouse. And I'm so proud to walk amongst you and call you my friends. And I just encourage you, please keep letting your light shine.
And I would like to thank all military spouses and volunteers for everything they do to support their soldier, their family, their military community, and nonprofit organizations.
Well, Maria and Alexandra, thank you both for volunteering and for setting the example for all our spouses to follow. We truly appreciate you both.
Thanks, Holly. Thanks again for having us.
So our time has come to an end to close this edition of Family Voices Podcast. All of us here at the Association of the United States Army want to sincerely and wholeheartedly thank Mrs. McConville, Mrs. Grinston, Ms. Briley, and Mr. Yearwood for joining us today. Thank you for sharing your passion to educate others. To find out more about how to volunteer in your Army community, you can contact your installation's MWR office or Army Community Service Center. All of us at the Association of the United States Army want to express how much we value and appreciate our military spouses. And thank you to everyone who dedicate their time to volunteering in and around our Army communities. We hope you enjoyed today's episode as much as we have, and we welcome your feedback and recommendations for future subjects. Thank you for joining us, and have a great day.
To all our listeners, thanks for joining us. Be sure to subscribe to the Army Matters podcast on iTunes and everywhere podcasts are found. The Army Matters podcast series is brought to you by the Association of the United States Army, the U.S. Army's professional association, member-supported, Army-connected. Visit us at AUSA.org for more information or to become a member. Your membership helps AUSA continue to carry out its mission to educate, inform, and connect with the total Army, our industry partners, and our supporters of a strong national defense. For questions or to provide topic recommendations, email us at podcast@AUSA.org. Have a great Army Day. Hooah.